February 20th, tune in all night long for the Homelessness Marathon on CITR.
Why do a nationwide homelessness marathon?
Because homeless people should have access to the media where they can freely speak out. Because it is the homeless who are best able to educate people on the issue of homelessness.
This 14-hour broadcast will begin at sunset on Wednesday, February 20th, and continue through sunrise the next day in front of the Native Friendship Center of Montreal.
This year, more than 30 stations are carrying the Homelessness Marathon. For more info, visit www.citr.ca.
To participate, dial 1-866-763-4136. Call toll-free.
They say you don't want people giving you too much?
No, well, you know what? See, like, when you panhandle, people like you to come up with some clever kind of saying. And it's really unique, because every individual's got what's going to make them laugh, and you may not even understand why they're laughing.
If I ever heard God speak, God said, son, tonight, I want you to tell the people that God is a killer. Is a killer.
I like
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 Is a killer.
Only on CIDR 101.9 FM.
I thought, I've read that in the Bible. Where is it? God said,
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist conversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
I like just ripples. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Get up here. You gotta do that now. Yeah, that's it. All right. Now, how many of you can do that with the yo-yo? Now ask yourself why you're not able to do that and I am. Do you want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. See, any person in this room could learn how to do that. If you wanted the sweater bad enough, and I wanted that sweater, and I hooked the sweater up, what I wanted, with what I was doing, and I had to believe I could get it. What did Napoleon Hill say? He says there's a difference between wishing for something and believing you can receive it. And he said the key is you've got to believe it. William James says believe and your belief will create the fact. Well, you know, that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. I don't care how simple it is. I don't care if it's just winning a sweater with a yo-yo. It could be writing $5 million, or it could be doing what that man did in the boxcar. Yet it works both ways. Yet it has no ability to change the idea. Whatever you ask for, that's exactly what you get. Now, as you take the idea that you build, and you've got the ability to sit down and design any idea you want, you see, if you were going to decorate your room, you'd get an idea here in your mind of how you'd like that room decorated. And then you'd go and get the things that you needed, and you'd put them in place until you had built on the physical plane of life a replica of the picture you've got in here. We have a gentleman here with us today that wrote the music and the lyrics for The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Give Scott Turek a hand. Sitting right over here on the side. Stand up for me, Scott. Scott is the musical director over at Leah Poslin Theater when you heard Dave ask, is there anybody from out of town? And you heard someone say from Colorado, Scott is from Colorado, but he is entertaining over at Leah Poslin Theater.
If you want to see a good play, you want to go over. I've been to Scott's play in the past, and I'm going to tell you this man is quite a musician. Scott, where does the music start? Would you say it starts right in here? You start hearing it in your head, don't you?
Yeah.
That's right. You actually hear the music in your head. You see, Scott takes this power and he turns it into music in his head. He literally hears it. And as he hears it, he sees it written on paper. Am I right or wrong? Then you take a pen or a paper and you write it. Scott, stand up for just a second, because this is a good example. Then when he's got the music, he not only writes the music,
he put words with the music. Is that correct? And we call those lyrics. And he takes and he writes the lyrics, and he knows those words. What are words? Words are nothing but ideas dressed up for our physical benefit. And you put words, and that puts more meaning then to the sound that you've heard. Is that correct? Thank you, Scott. You see, some people will say, well, he's creative, but I'm not. That's not true. Everyone's creative. We're all an expression of the same power. We've all been given the same tools. Scott has developed those, and many of us haven't. This is where it starts. Now, you're working with a universal power. This power just isn't in you. It's in everyone. It's in everything. We use this drawing to graphically convey an idea of you, your body, your mind, your intellect. But if you were to look at this properly, this is how it would appear. It's a universal power that you're impressing that idea on. Do you know when you throw a pebble into the lake, the entire shoreline has been changed? If you throw a pebble into the Atlantic Ocean, the entire shoreline has been altered. You'll say, oh, not the Atlantic. Yeah, even the Atlantic Ocean. Do you know where our problem is? We cannot see with these physical things the change in the shoreline. But understanding lets us see the change in the shoreline. Van Gogh is asked how he did such beautiful work. He did it the same way Scott does it. I dream my painting, and then I paint my dream. Do you know you'll never buy an original painting? Why? The original's on the mind of the artist. But we're all working with the same power. Don Slovan sensed that I believed he could write the 5 million. I knew he could write the 5 million. That gave Don a little inspiration, and he started to think about it. He started to think of all the good things that would come to him, fame, fortune, everything. And he got emotionally involved, and as he put that idea in there, Don Slovan moved into a brand new vibration. He started to attract all kinds of different things to him. Do you think it's an accident when one person, one in sales, goes into their office and in their pigeonhole, there are no messages, and another one goes in and there's 14 people wanting to buy something from them? Do you think it's an accident when there are two businesses side by side, one wins, one loses? I go to a barbershop down on Bayview Avenue, Tony's. I've been going there for 25 years, whenever I've lived in Toronto. Four doors away is another barbershop on Bayview Avenue. I have never seen anyone in that barbershop in 25 years. I've never seen one person. Now, I know someone goes in there. I know that because the person couldn't keep the doors open otherwise. Tony's, you always have to wait. The other one, you would never have to wait. Someone would say, well, that'd probably be a good place to go. I don't think he'd cut it the way I want it cut. And I think there's a lot of people think, I don't think he'll cut it the way I want it cut. But why is it empty? Is it because I'm thinking that? No. It's empty because that's the way that man sees his barbershop. We had some people come into Chicago one time when I was working with the Nightingale organization. They had a chicken restaurant in Ohio. It was out in the country. It was a great, big, beautiful white mansion. They sold more chicken dinners than any restaurant in the United States. People would come from three states away to buy from them. It's in the image. Now ask yourself, what kind of an image have you been holding? Have you been wishing good things would happen but think bad things would happen? You see, most people will let their present physical results control their way of thinking. They're emotionally involved in it. They think it's an accident that the same results keep reoccurring. That's no accident.
If you've got a financial problem, if you've got a cash flow problem, if you've got a marital problem, that's what most people concentrate on. If a doctor takes a photograph of your body and then tells you you're sick and shows you you're sick, what's the person concentrate on? Sickness. What's the photograph prove? The photograph proves that the person has been concentrating on something wrong to move their body into that vibration. What should they do? They should ask for help. Where does it come from? There's only one source, and they see perfect health. Or they see prosperity. But the cynics don't believe this. It's a strange thing. The cynics don't get results either. Quit letting your present results control your thinking. This power that I call God is in every one of us. And it's no more present in one person than it is in the other. Scott the Turk hasn't got any more of this power than Bob's got. Bob hasn't got any more of it than Reen's got. Reen hasn't got any more of it than Dave's got. Every one of us are an expression of the same power. And when we really grasp this, this universal concept, we're going to realize that we are all essentially the same with the same powers. It's learning how to use this. I remembered how that went then. It says, because the time will most assuredly come, and the best and wisest know not how soon, when death, the leveler of all human greatness, will reduce us all to the same level. It's like burning the paper, isn't it? It's like boiling the water. See, death, as we know it, is moving out of this thing. Life, as we know it, is in this thing. But if nothing's created or destroyed, and if all science and all theology tell us the same thing, then that only postulates one theory, the theory of life. See, everything you have is going to belong to someone else at the time of your death, but what you are is yours forever. Now, we want to try and understand this concept. On page 28, we say you are a perfect instrument for spirit to express itself through. Start to see yourself. Now, every time you think of yourself, think of that drawing. Every time you think of the drawing, you think of yourself. You've got to have an image to work with. On page 28, we say, see yourself as a perfectly endowed spiritual instrument without limitation. When you do, you're going to find it easy, in fact, natural, to expect the good you desire. You will also understand that doubt simply obstructs the unfoldment of the prosperity in your life. Now, read this bottom paragraph on page 28. Doubt does not shut down the workings of the power. The power's always working. Think of the man in the refrigerator car. It's always working. It never stops. There isn't some emotional or capricious God saying, oh, wait a minute, you're choosing the wrong thought. You ask and you receive. You ask for the wrong thing, you're going to get it. It'll be delivered right on schedule. You can make buck on it. The doubt you hold becomes the picture, which will turn into your physical results. You see, when you build the picture, you control from inside. You do not control from outside, regardless of the circumstance of the present results. What did James Allen say? Your circumstances may be uncongenial, but they will not long remain so if you perceive the ideal and strive to reach it. Do you know what an ideal is? An ideal is an idea that you fall in love with. And you know what love is? Love is resonance. It's harmony. It's in tune. It's operating on the same frequency. Well, when you get the higher side of your personality operating with the lower side of your personality, you're going to see miraculous changes take place on the physical side of your personality. But until you get these two in tune, you're going to have a problem. Because when they're not in tune, there's what we call conflict. And if there's conflict in the mind, I guarantee it'll express itself in the body. What do you think dis-ease is? It's the opposite of at ease. On page 29, one of the best definitions of faith I've ever heard came from a chap in Chicago, Clarence Smitheson. Clarence Smitheson. He said, faith is the ability to see the invisible. What did we say about Scott's music? No one on planet Earth had ever heard that music that he heard in his head until he put it on paper and then sent it out so that the rest of the world could enjoy what he was enjoying. It's the ability to see the invisible, to believe in the incredible. What is incredible is that there's a power in every cell of your being that operates in a totally deductive manner. It will take whatever image you impress upon it, and it'll move you into the vibration you have to be in, to act the way you have to act, to attract the thing you have to attract for the manifestation of the image that you chose to build. You can say, using a slightly different vocabulary, I'd make the observation, if you can show me a person who achieves great things, I can show you a person who has great faith in themselves and their ability to achieve what they imagine. On page 29, I was having dinner last night with Paul Hutsey. He told me a most interesting little story. Paul was talking about, it's what's on the inside, it's not what's on the outside. He talked about it yesterday while he was talking about it last night. And he tells the story about the little black boy that went to the
carnival. And there was a man there blowing up balloons, filling them with helium gas, and then letting them go. and he filled a red balloon, and then he tied it up and he let it go. And the little boy was standing there watching him. And then he filled a yellow balloon with helium and he tied it and he let it go. Then he filled a green balloon and he tied it and he let it go. And the little boy said, "Mister," he said, "can black balloons fly?" He said, "Son, any balloon can fly. It's not what's on the outside that makes it fly, it's what's on the inside." And that's the way it works. Interesting idea. We say comparatively few people today realize just how much faith in oneself, your higher self, not this false concept that we've been running around with, can't do this, can't do that. Your higher self, that side of you that's universal, that's the same side of us all. That part of you that's spiritually perfect has to do with your achievement. The majority of people never seem to conceive of faith as being a genuine creative force. Yet the truth is that not only is faith a bona fide power, it is the greatest one you will ever encounter. Ever encounter. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that whatever you accomplish in your lifetime will be in direct proportion to the intensity and persistence of your faith. Intensity, what do we mean by that? Well, remember we said one of the intellectual factors was the will. The will gives us the ability to concentrate on an idea. And when we concentrate on the idea, we're just taking that power and turning it right over. We're giving more energy to the idea. What did Emerson say? The only thing that can grow is the thing you give energy to. It's been told to us 10,000 ways. I think what we want to do is wake up. May I borrow your program, please? No, the tapes. You have a set of these tapes. You need a new tape. Some of you will be wondering how to get these out, and you're digging with your fingernails. And the ladies are getting upset because they're breaking their fingernails. You just have to press on the side. And they pop out. And then it tells you underneath how to get them out. Andy Rooney would probably get about an hour and a half out of that. Now, you've got a relaxation and visualization tape. I want to suggest that you put this to good use. On page 30, we're suggesting that you take this new understanding that you're developing, you take the description of the new you that you wrote up on page 26. That new description should include no negatives.
It should be in the present tense.
It should not say, "I am going to become."
It should say, "I am. I am so happy that I am." And describe everything that you want to be.
It's got to be. This is vitally important in present tense. This part of your personality knows nothing about past or future. There's only now. You ask yourself, "Where am I? What time is it?" You'll always get the same answer to those two questions. I'm here. It's now. So this is written in present tense. It includes no negatives. Everything is positive. You write it out. When you write it out, you have built brain cells. I'm going to ask the gentleman sitting there that I had up here yesterday, Nino, do you want to stand up for just a second? Nino, you looked at an object yesterday. And when you looked at that object, you had no cells of recognition for it in your brain. Now, Nino, I am just just going to mention the object. It was a metal toothpick. Yesterday, you didn't even know what it is. Today, when I say, you can see it in here, is that correct?
Yes.
Thanks, Nino. Now, do you know what Nino is saying? I built brain cells yesterday. Well, you know, as you write out this description of you, you're literally building brain cells. You're building new brain cells. Those new brain cells hold an image of the new you. Now, this is how the change is made. You use this and you let yourself totally relax. Don't try and relax. Let yourself relax. Trying is forcing, and you must let on the mind. You let yourself get emotionally involved in this image. And you know that every time you do, in a very relaxed state, when you just trigger those brain cells, you just think of the new you, and that picture comes up. But you know every time you do that, you're giving more and more energy to those brain cells. They become stronger and stronger. And in a relatively short period of time, those ideas will be fixed in your mind, and that's the way you'll live. When Cary Grant passed away, I read a page, an obituary on Cary Grant. There was an entire page of one-liners. The last one was by Cary Grant himself. He said, I acted like Cary Grant for so long, I became him. I acted like Cary Grant for so long, I became him. You can say, I've acted like this person on page 26 for so long, I became that person. Now, you can go over this lesson and go over it. Over it too often. Impossible. We're going to touch now on what you should expect, because you're going to find that expectation is what really makes the difference. Now, as John goes through this page, I want you to think, if I built that picture on page 26, I painted the picture. It's like Scott heard the music, then he painted it on paper. Well, you saw the person, and then you painted it on page 26. And every time you get emotionally involved, you rewrite it. And you're going to find you'll crystallize it, and you'll make it better, and you'll make it better, and you'll make it better. Well, every time you do that, you're moving yourself into that vibration. You're going to get to the point where you'll start to expect the good that you desire. And John's going to tell you what will happen when you do. But you know, when I wrote that goal on the card years and years ago of having the $25,000, I didn't believe it. You may not believe what you write on that page. You might think this is really silly. You may think it's silly, try it. I can guarantee in a relatively short period of time, you won't think it's silly anymore. Because as I pointed out, you write a lie on a card and you read it often enough, you're going to believe it. And you're going to find your belief, as William James said, will literally create fact.
The more often you listen to that section of your Born Rich program, the clearer it's going to be in your mind. I previously mentioned there were two pages in this book that would make a world of difference for you. One was page 26, and the other was page 30. Now on page 26, as you wrote down the person you wanted to be, you might have looked at that as being a fantasy. You know, some people truly live their fantasies. What was actually happening when you sat and you thought of the person you wanted to become, you built this picture in your mind, you were literally building brain cells, just as I did with Nino on the first cassette that you were watching. Now, as you made the written description of the person you wanted to become, you built brain cells in your mind. Now we're going to activate those brain cells. Now, consider this for a moment.
have fantasy, theory, and fact. Permit me to explain what's going to happen. If you will take the number 7 audio cassette from your Born Rich program and play this tape, what you're going to do is put yourself into a very relaxed state. It'll be an altered state of consciousness. Go and lay down someplace quiet by yourself and turn this cassette on. And when you get into a very relaxed state, throw the switch of that person you want to be. You're going to activate those brain cells. Now, in the beginning, it's going to remain a fantasy. You know, some people truly live their fantasies. What was actually happening when you sat and you thought of the person you wanted to become, you built this picture in your mind. You were literally building brain cells, just as I did with Nino on the first cassette that you were watching. Now, as you made the written description of the person you wanted to become, you built brain cells in your mind. Now we're going to activate those brain cells. Now consider this for a moment. Here you have fantasy, theory, and fact. Permit me to explain what's going to happen. If you will take the number 7 audio cassette from your Born Rich program and play this tape, what you're going to do is put yourself into a very relaxed state. It'll be an altered state of consciousness. Go and lay down someplace quiet by yourself and turn this cassette on. And when you get into a very relaxed state, throw the switch of that person you want to be. You're going to activate those brain cells. Now, in the beginning, it's going to remain a fantasy. But by playing this tape daily, twice a day if you can, and turning that picture on that you built on page 26,
it's all a fantasy. But it doesn't matter. Unfortunately, I don't have tape 7. I stopped in at Valley Village a couple weeks ago. From the You Were Born Rich series, this is number 5, I think. Yeah, about 3, 4, 5, and 6. This one, some of the things we'll learn on this tape is, the keys to living on a higher level of conscious awareness. You know what? This isn't really that good. I want to listen to the other ones where, among other things, we learn the critical role of psycho-cybernetics in our success. Psycho-cybernetics, I guess. That's some kind of robot implant. Kind of curious about that one. Also got another thing for when you guys fall, get kind of sleepy. Something on making friends. This tape utilizes a technique called sleep talking, the simple, reassuring way to help the child having difficulty in school or making friends. Play this tape at bedtime. So, when you guys start feeling sleepy, let me know and I'll put this one on. I think I'm going to have to stop Bob Proctor here and switch to another tape. Music is courtesy of Utan and Valerie Okosi.
This is a high check! Heads down! This is a hand grenade! We will blow the curtain! Heads down!
The enemy doesn't care who they hurt. Not how young.
Daddy!
How innocent. How helpless.
Collect all passports.
Why?
Collect!
Strangers.
They're making a mistake.
United by the threat of death.
There's only two of them! And there's so many of us!
Find the courage.
You take one of us, you gotta take us all.
To defy their captors.
I won't do it!
It's a new age of terror that requires a new breed of warrior.
1 minute to showtime.
We're members of Delta Force and we're here to take you home.
America's elite anti-terrorist commandos, committed to destroy the enemies of freedom, because the stakes are more than pride.
Sleep tight, sucker.
More than honor.
Move it.
More than justice.
American, I want to negotiate. Do you hear me, American?
Loud and clear.
Because they're fighting to save American lives. The Delta Force. Starring Chuck Norris and Lee Marvin. America's new heroes. The Delta Force.
Well, I obviously couldn't. That's why it's so essential that we listen to this over and over again. A couple of us were talking at the break. And this gentleman just came back. He came back. He'd just been through the seminar. He came back through it again. And he says, it's so much different. And I said, every time you go through it, it's different. I said, that's because you're operating with a higher awareness, and you'll see things you weren't able to see before. Now, turn over onto page 24. This page could be worth its weight in gold along with the other two pages. Let's let this circle that you see at the top of the page. You're at the top of page 24. Let that represent a thermostat in your home. And we take this thermostat and we set the dial to control the room temperature at 72 degrees. That is the set goal. Now, what'd they say? It says it has a sensor in it to measure deviation from a set goal. It signals this deviation into a coordinating mechanism, which then corrects the output. Let's suppose the room temperature is at 72 degrees. Someone leaves the front door open, and it's cold. You're in the northern part of North America, and the temperature drops quickly to 68 degrees. The sensor in the thermostat picks up that deviation. It sends a message through the electrical system in the house to the furnace. The fire's turned on, the fan's turned on, until that room temperature's brought back under control again at 72, and that's it. Let's look at it in another machine. We'll say this.
I'll
bet you couldn't draw it any better. It's quite obvious I haven't majored in art. You guys said you majored in the minors. All right. Now, this airplane, let's suppose it leaves Pearson International Airport in Toronto. It's going to LAX or Los Angeles in California. When the pilot leaves the vicinity of the International Airport here in Toronto, the pilot sets a cybernetic mechanism. That's called an automatic pilot. Then you see the guy with the four stripes wander down the plane.
Sure.
How are you today, sir? How are you today? Enjoying yourself, man? I used to sit there and I think, why didn't you get back in that room up front? I didn't feel particularly comfortable screaming through the sky. guy at that height and the guy that's in charge of the ship wandering around, you know, inquiring as to the state of my health. But I would feel much healthier if I didn't see you wandering around this planet. But it didn't make any difference. He could come back. He sat with us. That plane was under control. It had an automatic pilot, a cybernetic mechanism. Now, let's suppose that airplane got hit with some unexpected turbulence and bang, it's knocked off course. The automatic pilot would pick up the deviation from the set goal. If it didn't, this thing might end up somewhere down around Juarez, Mexico.
That signals a message through the electrical system in the airplane. The wings are changed. The engine thrust is changed, and that plane is brought right back under control again. Now come down and take a look at these two people on page 24. We'll just draw one. This person has an image in their mind. I'll use the concept that we could all relate to. Let's suppose this person's a salesperson or they're a student. You could use either one. Let's suppose the salesperson sells $1 million worth of their product or service every year. You know, large sales organizations can pretty well tell you what their sales force is going to write at the beginning of the year. If they have a contest, you send them off to some exotic place on a trip for writing so much business, and they name where they're going to go today, and they're not going to go for a year, you know that they can book the seats on the plane now. They know exactly how many rooms that they're going to rent. That's because people very rarely deviate from their set objective. They're locked in to a habit pattern. But we can switch this, and let's say it's a student that gets the C average. Now, this salesperson, they get a real pep talk from a sales meeting or something. No understanding, just motivation, no education. They get all wound up, and they go out, and in a week, they write $350,000 worth of business. Their self-image picks up the deviation from the set goal, sends it into a coordinating mechanism, the nervous system. A signal is sent, and the behavioral patterns will change, and that person will quit selling until they're back on course again. Now, they may go through a period where they write nothing for a month. Self-image picks up that information, sends a message to the nervous system. The behavioral patterns will change. They'll get up and they'll start selling again. But at the end of the year, they still have rent $1 million worth of business. Let's suppose it's a student that's getting a C average. They bring the report card home, parents turn the heat up, turn the TV off, bicycle goes, girlfriends, boyfriends are out of the picture. Really put the pressure on the kid. The marks shoot up and they get 100% on a test. Self-image picks up that information and sends a message to the nervous system. The behavioral patterns will change. Let me say that child's not on the person. What's causing the problem? This is everything here. That's cool. That's not what they want to do. But that's what they are. At the bottom of the page, that drug. On page 25, results in control of you, you in control of results. If you were to look in your Born Rich book on page 62, there's a story of a man that I am very proud to call my friend, and John's friend as well. This man started into the insurance business in the southern part of the United States 38 years ago. He had just left college. He was 23 years old. He worked as an agent, a salesperson for 3 years. Then he moved into management. He held a number of management positions. As a matter of fact, he became the vice president of sales for the states of Kansas, Missouri, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. John and I both did a lot of work for him in that area. And I'm going to tell you, he is a good man. There's just absolutely no question about him. And he is well-liked and respected. Big difference in the two. Above him. This man today decided that he wanted to quit traveling and he wanted to move back to his roots. I often ask people in the seminar, how many of you are living in the house that you choose to live in? I don't. This man would be able to hold his hand. Because I've been in that house. I've sales field. He's got 5 children and 19 grandchildren. You'd almost think the guy was 150, wouldn't you? This beautiful house he owns, he not only sells, he gets involved in some physical labor. It's way back in off the road. And I'm going to tell you, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's got some little lake. He decided to brick the driveway. And he was going to put them all in himself. Now, not being too fond of manual labor, I took a look at what he was starting, and I thought, poor guy's got to need a psychiatrist. You know, I asked him this morning or last night, how many bricks did you lay there? And he said, 55,000. Give you an idea how long the driveway is. It's all his property. He wasn't bricking somebody else's driveway. Some of you will really appreciate the significance of this, and some of you may not. This man lives in a town of 17,000 people where the average income is below the national poverty level. In spite of that, he has the largest agency in the Prudential Insurance Company of America. He has 60 agents and 8 managers. Now, this is absolutely phenomenal. He operates one of the largest, not one of the, he operates the largest agency, and certainly one of the most successful. He's a man that really believes in what he does. Not a lot of people do. I've met his children, and Janie, his daughter, the mother of 3 beautiful little kids, she works in the same company Paul works in. She's an agent too. And Joe, his son-in-law, he's an agent in the same company that Paul's in. I like it when I see a person bringing their own family into the same business they're in. It speaks well of what they think of their business. I think of all the things I could say about this man. He's a man of integrity, and you are more than fortunate in meeting him. Believe me, you really are. He's a very special friend of mine and John's, and I phoned him just a little over a week ago. And I said, you know, I've got an idea that it would really add something to this program because there will be millions of people watching this all over the world. Within a couple of months, this particular seminar that you're sitting in will be on the market in New Zealand, Australia, in England, and in every city in North America. I wanted those people to know this man. But even more than that, I wanted them to hear from the person themselves how a man took the idea on this page and like that. Put it to work, and the difference it made in his life. And I'm going to tell you something. You could not consider him a loser when he got this idea by any stretch of the imagination. He's a very special guy. I want you to stand up and really get his...
As an officer of the Army Medical Corps, I wish to bring your attention to an important phase in the preservation of your health. The Army recognizes the risks present with a large number of men the satisfaction of their sexual impulse. The greatest risk is that of venereal diseases acquired during the sexual act. You will ordinarily not contract sexual diseases if there is no sexual act performed. In that respect, continence, if not total abstinence, is the best of all preventives. However, in the event of contact with a contaminated woman, you must bear in mind that there are available to you, through your own medical corps, specific preventives and cures for specific infections. On that slide, there are many germs that you cannot see with your unaided eye. However, if we look through this microscope, we can see what is meant by a specific germ. Here is the organism which causes sleeping sickness. Here is the organism which causes malaria. And this is the specific germ of gonorrhea. This is the specific germ of syphilis. These germs, if allowed to enter the body, either through the skin or through mucus-lined openings, may destroy your life. The mucus-lined openings through which germs may enter your body are the mouth, the nose, and the urethral canal. Even a slight, unnoticed skin abrasion may act as an open door for these persistent and evil bacteria. Some further illustrations are necessary to show you how these germs attack parts of your body. As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles. Here we have a diagram of the human body showing those parts with which this discussion is primarily concerned. First, from the front, abdomen, groins, the penis, sac or scrotum, the pubic hairs. Now let us open the front of the belly surrounded by this black line. This is what we find. Liver, stomach, bowel, bladder. Note that the penis and scrotum are just below the bladder, on the outside of the belly wall. In order to get a side view of the interior of the body, let us cut this diagram in half. One side of the body is now removed so that we may see the inner parts of the belly in cross-section. Let us now examine these inner parts one by one. As we discuss them, we will indicate their proper places and function. The penis, the foreskin, that part which is removed when a man is circumcised. Inside the belly is the bladder. It is a storing place or reservoir for your water. We now add the tube which carries your water from the bladder to the outside. Notice that it passes through a gland at the bottom of the bladder. This gland is called the prostate. Inside the sac, or scrotum, are two glands called the testicles, or balls. Here, because of the cross-section, you see only one of the two identical testicles. Here, the rectum. Here, the lower spine, or backbone. May be attacked by one or all of the three types of venereal diseases which are common and of which you have heard. Perhaps they've been referred to by several names. Syphilis, pox, gonorrhea, phlegm, chancroid, or soft shank. Let us now examine the diseases these germs cause. This diagram will show you that the probability of acquiring syphilis during a man's life is 1 in 10. This means that by rule of average, if men do not practice care, reasonable self-discipline, they can expect that 1 man in each 10 of their acquaintances have suffered syphilis in some form during his life. This unfortunate man, one out of every 10 in your acquaintance, has his entire life shortened by 5 years, or 18 6% from the normal. These figures, of course, apply only to the untreated or improperly treated cases. Now let us examine the characteristics of the specific germ which causes syphilis. The microorganism is corkscrew in shape. It may begin its entrance into the body at any point. That is, however, usually on the private part. The germs bore their way into the skin usually within 2 hours after sexual intercourse. In a week or more, a hard rim, chancre, or sore usually forms. Most often on the penis. Although it may appear on the lip after kissing contact, by the time the sore has appeared, the germs have been distributed by the blood to every part of the body. They may produce serious damage unless they are killed by the injection of the proper drugs. These sores, or hard chancres, when present, are usually the first sign of a syphilis infection. Many times, however, they do not appear. And their absence leads the infected person to a false sense of security. This soldier was fortunate. Fortunate since the sore appeared. It was therefore possible for him to seek early treatment. Early discovery and proper treatment of syphilis is vital to any infected person. On the other hand, this man was by no means so lucky. So his appearance is normal. This case is a hard hanger of the truth. Good morning. Do you mind showing your throat to these men? This shows what happens in the syphilis infected throat. Before the syphilis germ has had the time to get through the skin, thus cause the canker, but take prophylactic, preventive treatment to kill these germs. This treatment should be taken within 2 hours. Treatment itself will be shown to you later in this film. However, you have already contracted the disease, as shown by this time, the hard canker, or by other signs that follow, should go to a medical officer of your organization at once.
I think about these things.
And when he will immediately take specimens to scientifically determine if you actually have symptoms.
Something that excites you, something that turns up. You see, there's really two kinds of goals. There's logical goals.
In the case of this individual, no hard canker appeared.
Logical goals are reasonable.
The first sign was the rash breaking out of the skin.
I tell salesmen who have
this is the so-called secondary stage. The manifestations of the disease may be widespread through the body. The medical officer can differentiate this rash from other skin diseases by making a blood test, by looking for the germs in the skin. Expert medical care, such as you are able to get in your own medical department, will yet restore this man to health. Many cases of syphilis do not show these two early warning signs. May not be discovered for several years after infection. Also, the warning signs may be so slight that the men forgot. Thus, we find the mental type of case resulting. This chart indicates that the development of insanity many years after infection is 10 times higher among those who receive no treatment or inferior treatment. This form of insanity will require continuous treatment, probably for life. The patient must be kept under guard at all times. The most important fact to remember about the prevention of these tragic cases of syphilis are, first, they can be prevented by taking prophylactic treatment. The treatment should be taken before the germ has had a chance to get through the tissue, or as soon as possible. Second, that practically all cases of syphilis are curable if discovered early in the first or chagrin stage. Thereupon, treatment. Third, that you can secure proper medical treatment from the Army Medical Corps. Here again is another sexual menace. Specific germ causing gonorrhea. Flat. It enters the body by the same method as the germs causing syphilis. During sexual intercourse, sticky matter inside the female organ gets under the foreskin or in the opening of the penis. The woman has gonorrhea. This sticky, pus-like fluid carries the germs. They stay on or inside the penis after the intercourse is finished. If these germs are not destroyed early, they will dig in and begin growing. From a couple of days up to 2 weeks after these germs begin to bore in, pain and burning will be noted whenever the infected person tries to pass water. He will notice when arising in the morning that there will be a thick yellow fluid called coming from the opening in the head of the penis. Don't attempt to strip down or milk the penis. This is harmful. You are infected, the pus will come out of itself. This pus carries millions of gonorrhea germs. Under the microscope, these gonococcus germs appear like this. The medical officer will examine all suspected cases carefully. Find out if they are infected with those germs. Pus from the penis may get on the hand, the handkerchief, or towel. And blindness, heart trouble, and many other mortal diseases may result when a careless patient carries the infection by his hand to other parts of his own body or those of some innocent person. Chancroid, known as blue ball or soft chancre, is another form of venereal disease that can be acquired during sexual intercourse. This diagram will give you a graphic idea of the extent of this virulent disease. The head and shafts of the penis and the skin of the abdomen or scrotum may have several sores. If not treated, they will spread rapidly in size. This case, for example, failed to see a medical officer promptly. These swellings are like boils. When opened, let out a lot of pus. It take a long time to heal. Permanent scars usually remain. Any of these complications may result from neglect or from a case treated by so-called clap doctors. Do not permit yourself to be treated by a quack or druggist. They will do you more harm than good. This man is taking not only his own life and sanity in his hands, but is endangering the health of all of his associates by not reporting to his own medical officer for treatment. A record made by the medical officer who treats you will follow you wherever you are transferred. It'll be used only to keep the medical officers who will treat you informed as to the progress of your case, and as a history of the treatment you have received. Proper medical care will not only prevent danger to others, but may shorten and prevent complications of the disease in the infected man. A soldier who does not report to the medical officer at once if he suspects he has gonorrhea is in fact very dangerous. He is dangerous to everyone in his unit and to everyone with whom he comes in contact, even in such a way as we have just witnessed. Careful explanation has been given you of the venereal diseases to which you may be exposed. I have also explained to you the proper method of prevention, cure. Do not think that you are the lucky one to go on unscathed. Germs know no distinction between one man and another. I will now show you how you can avoid getting any of these diseases in the first place. If you have sexual intercourse, there are two things you must do. First, keep something between you and the germs of venereal disease by using a good rubber. They should be purchased preferably from an army post exchange, or if this is impossible, from a reliable drugstore. Rubber prophylactics should be free from holes, blisters, air bubbles, and all other defects in material or workmanship. Test it carefully. Inflate it with air as you would a toy balloon until the rubber is fully extended. Look for any signs of escaping air. It may be further tested by filling it with 2 cups of water and noting if any oozing is present. Roll it up, place a little of the lubricant from the tube in your packet on the inside, roll it onto the penis, as shown by this scene. rest of the lubricant should be smeared on the outside of the rubber after it is on. This prevents tearing and helps protect against disease in case the rubber should break. When you are through, unroll the rubber. If the woman has gonorrhea or syphilis, as she probably has, there will be millions of the germs on the rubber, on the hand that removed it, and on the surfaces surrounding the penis. You must now do these things as quickly as possible. First, urinate. Pass your water. Second, wash your hands, your penis, and the surrounding skin and hair thoroughly with soap and water. Third, get to the nearest prophylactic station for a treatment. Every minute is important. There's no sure method of preventing venereal disease if you expose yourself to it. These methods will prevent most infections if taken soon enough and performed thoroughly enough. You can secure proper prophylactic treatment under the supervision of a trained medical soldier. Get a copy of the prophylactic slip and keep it so you will have a record of your treatment. The medical department soldier who witnessed your treatment will sign your slip. Proper prophylactic treatment is given as follows. First, scrub the belly and private parts thoroughly with soap, as we see here. Then rinse the soap off with water. Wash the parts with hydrochloride of mercury solution. Then the brown medicine is placed in a special syringe, the tip of which is set into the head of the penis, and the medicine is forced gently into the urethra. You'll recall that this is where the gonorrhea germs first started their trouble. Second, the head of the penis is clamped like this. The medicine is held there for at least 5 minutes to ensure that all possible germs are reached by the medicine. Third, rub the salve, mercury ointment, over the private part, the upper part of the leg, and also the stomach. This is to prevent syphilis or hard chancre. You must grease yourself all around the private parts, or the woman might have had a sore on her stomach or legs, as well as her private parts. Use a piece of paper inside your underwear to keep the salve from your outer clothes. In view of what we have seen and talked of here, I'm sure it is easy for you to understand how important it is for your own sake to take treatment as soon as possible after your sexual intercourse. Do not allow the germs to get so far inside the body. It'll be hard for our medicine and treatment to reach and kill them. At your army hospital, you can secure the best possible prophylaxis and treatment. Army hospitals have the latest equipment and use the latest drugs. You cannot secure better treatment elsewhere, regardless of the price you might pay. Medical officers who treat you are well trained and must present evidence of high professional qualifications.
I've shared Paul's story with thousands of people, but it was really nice to be able to share Paul with people today. And with all the people that are going to be watching this in their homes and in their offices all over the place, Paul talked.
Do not rely on tips from anyone
about
how to treat venereal diseases.
That you have here.
You now know the real facts.
Is what's going to determine.
If you suspect that you have a venereal disease, report
John
to your first sergeant or charge of quarters.
About
and have your name entered on the sick book.
I never noticed the difference in that, Paul. But
let me emphasize. It is extremely important that you do not go on a drinking party.
At any rate.
And allow yourself to become so drunk that you get careless.
And I guess Canadians is crucified the English language. But at any rate, you have an image here in your subconscious mind.
And becomes the victim through his own failure and takes the precautions recommended to him by the medical corps of the United States Army.
Your action planner on page 26.
Men, you are a part of the greatest army in the world. To become soldiers in the first place, you had to have a strong body. health,
every
and common
he
sense.
Promised he was gonna get
the purpose of this film has been to show you how to keep your health,
Emerson
preserve your body,
what used to make
and to help maintain the greatness to be the core of your organization.
Is going to keep
it is hoped that you will
you
use
see,
your good common sense and continue to be good soldiers and citizens in the service of your country.
The only thing I suggested to Paul, and it didn't take long, was how to change the picture. And I said, you change the picture, Paul. And I said, your results will change so fast, you'll be shocked. Now, this never happens by accident. You've got to put forth a little effort. Remember how John started out? He said you put a little in, you get a little out.
Some people put a little in, but they put a lot of energy behind it. They still get a little back.
If you put a whole lot into it, you'll get a whole lot back.
Now, what I want to suggest, as this lesson comes to an end, I want to suggest that you go someplace quiet, by yourself, and think.
I mean really think. Life is precious. There's absolutely no question about it. I think that there's enough evidence just in what we've covered in this seminar to indicate to you that you can have, do, or be the things you want. Now, it was no accident that Paul got that house. It's no accident that he runs the largest agency in all of the United States of America, in the world, with that company. And in a town of only 17,000 people, where the average income is below the national poverty level. That's no accident. That's how Paul sees his people operating. And as a result, everyone benefits. Not just the people in his agency, but all the people they serve. Now, we're suggesting here that you make a written description of the person you're about to become. Now, that's not going to make you that person. We're going to get into how to take that image and turn it over in the next lesson. But I want to suggest that you sit down and you really think. Realize this power is flowing into you. As it flows in, we said it just is. It's without form. You make it what you want. And I'm suggesting that you build into your mind a picture of exactly how you want to live. Don't give any thought to how it's going to happen. We're not at that point yet. One step at a time. What kind of a person do you want to be? Where do you want to be in your commercial career? What kind of a financial position do you want to be in? I can tell you one thing with absolute certainty. When Paul got this idea, he was already winning. When John and I got it, we were miserable losers. And I know that if I can do it, anyone can do it. I've gone into prisons with this, and so has John. We've worked with people who are right down and out, the casts of our ways. And we've watched them literally change their life just through these simple concepts. So can you. You've got to decide how do you want to change it. You don't get the house by wishing. You decide what kind of house do you want. Now, don't just build a picture of being a wealthy person. Ray Stanford first suggested I could change. That's all I was interested in. And I got it. Howard Hughes did too. But he ended up alone and lonely and in a very defiled body. Now, build an image of being happy, of being healthy, and of being wealthy. And I would suggest that you build into it the kind of an attitude that you want for everyone else, what you want for yourself. And your life will be absolutely incredible. Now, all you have to do is build this picture in your mind. And when this lesson's over, I'm going to suggest you go somewhere quiet and do that. Don't put it off. Do it. Don't wait till tomorrow, next week, next month, 5 years from now. Waste all that time. You do it before you go to bed today. Sit down, take your pen, and right here on page 26, describe exactly how you want to live. And when we get into the next lesson, we're going to show you how to firmly plant that image into this part of your mind, and I'll guarantee you, you'll change. And you'll change fast. And you just heard from a gentleman from Pittsburgh, Kansas. He's flown all the way up here just to share that with you, that it does work, work for him. We think. He tried for 22 years. You can tell by looking at him, he's a good man. For 22 years, he tried to get what he wanted. He couldn't do it. You'll never do it through force. You'll do it through faith and by law. I'm going to show you how to put it in there tomorrow.
You'll have to admit Paul Huntsey sure changed the direction of his life and that of all his family with the proper image.
Before you sleep, I want you to imagine the most wonderful, special place that you have ever wanted to go to. It could be a castle or a fairyland. Perhaps it's in the clouds. It could be a wonderful fantasy land. It could be a special place just for you, high up in the mountaintops, or a treehouse, or somewhere by a still lake. You know where. it is, and you can go there anytime in your imagination, because you're creating it just for you. Now that you know where this special place is, you can go there anytime and feel safe and secure. All you need to do is close your eyes for a few moments and you are there. Now that you are safe and secure in your special place, you find yourself all tucked up, cozy and warm, in your special bed, in your wonderful special place. You are so happy to feel so cozy and warm in your special bed. Your special bed is so wonderful, warm, and inviting. You feel very safe and very secure. You are so comfortable and warm and protected in your little bed. You feel so loved and so protected and so peaceful and so comforted in your special little bed. You are so happy to be sleeping so deeply and so peacefully. Soon, a lovely fairy or an angel comes along to be with you and to rock you in your special bed, in your special place. And she starts to sing to you the most beautiful, gentle song as she rocks you. Her voice is so soothing and so gentle. She sings the most beautiful songs, and soon you find that you are fast, fast asleep. You sleep so deeply, so very, very deeply, and so peacefully, and so comfortably, and so happily. You sleep so deeply, and so peacefully, and so comfortably. You sleep deeply, peacefully, comfortably, and happily. You sleep so deeply, and so peacefully, and so comfortably. You sleep so deeply, and so peacefully, and so comfortably, and so happily. You sleep so deeply, and so peacefully, and so comfortably, and so happily. You sleep deeply, very, very deeply, and you sleep peacefully, very, very peacefully, and you sleep comfortably, very, very comfortably. You are so peaceful. You are so relaxed, very, very relaxed. You sleep so deeply and so peacefully and so comfortably and so happily. You sleep deeply, very, very deeply, peacefully, very, very peacefully. You sleep deeply and peacefully and happily and comfortably. You sleep so deeply, so peacefully, so happily, and so comfortably. You are very, very peaceful. You are very, very relaxed. Now that you are sleeping so deeply and so peacefully, I'm going to tell you what a wonderful person you are. You are so wonderful and so happy. You are so happy and so cared for, and so loved and so secure. You are so special. You are so happy, cared for, loved and nurtured. You are nurtured, loved and comforted. You are nurtured, loved, cared for, peaceful and wise. You are a wise, knowing, loving person. You know what is best for you and for those around you. You know what is best for you and for those around you. You enjoy life. You enjoy life. You enjoy learning. You enjoy learning. You love and enjoy learning. You love and enjoy learning. Learning comes to you from all levels. You love learning. You love learning. You love to learn all you can from your teachers, your friends, your family, and all of life. Learning is wonderful. Learning is valuable. Learning is special. Learning is fun. Learning is so special, wonderful, and valuable. Learning is important. Learning is effortless. Learning is easy. Learning is effortless. Learning is easy. Learning is important for growth and well-being. Learning is important for growth and well-being. You are so happy that you are learning so much from these valuable and wonderful sources. Learning is effortless for you. Learning is effortless for you. You welcome learning. You welcome learning. You welcome learning, and you value all that you are learning. You value all that you have learned. You learn all you need to know so easily and so effortlessly. You learn all you need to learn so easily and effortlessly. You learn all you need to know easily and quickly. You have the gift of learning and the gift of knowledge. These are great and wonderful gifts. You treasure and value yourself, and you welcome the gift of knowledge. This gift of knowledge and wisdom makes you a better person. This gift of knowledge and wisdom makes you a better person. It makes you a better person, and it helps you make the most of your life. It helps you make the most of your life, your work, and your relationships. You love life. You love work, and you love people. You love learning. You are loved,
supported, cared for, and understood. You are a very self-assured person. You are stable, and you are secure. You are confident. You are confident. You are confident, stable, secure, and you love learning. You love learning new things. You love and enjoy learning about concepts. You love learning about theories. You love and enjoy learning about ideas. You love learning about all things old and new. You love learning about people. You love letters. You love numbers. You love learning everything there is to know. You know the answers. You understand the questions. The answers flow to you effortlessly. You know the answers. You understand the questions. And the answers flow to you effortlessly. You know the answers. And you understand the questions. The answers flow to you effortlessly. Learning is fascinating for you. Learning is a game. Learning is easy. Learning is fun. Learning is easy. Learning is fun. Learning is effortless. Learning is easy. Learning is fun. School is easy. School is fun. Your learning makes the world a better place. You understand. You know and understand that all learning is valuable. Learning is valuable. It is fun. It is easy. It is fun, valuable, easy, and effortless for you. Learning is wisdom. Learning is freedom. Learning is flowing. This knowledge makes your life flowing and free. Your life and this knowledge gives you freedom and joy. You love life. You are a joyous, happy person. You are happy, secure, joyous, and stable. You are appreciated, confident, capable, wise, and knowing. And you love learning. You have total harmony in all aspects of your life. You love to learn. You love to work. And you love to play in total harmony with all of those around you. You love your school. You are so happy and so secure. You are so happy and so secure. You know you can learn everything you're being taught with such ease and joy. You have the joy of life and the joy of learning. Learning makes you feel very joyful. You are so joyful, so capable, so confident, so knowing, and so wise. You are confident, capable, wise, knowing, and loving. You are so confident, wise, knowing, loving, and secure. You are a very secure, loved, and stable person. You are stable, loved, blessed, and secure.
Well, unfortunately, I'm gonna have to cut it short. I think this pizza I ate is not agreeing with me. Whatever it is, I'm not feeling too well. I gotta get out of here. I'd love to leave the hypnosis playing, but it's on a cassette tape, and we don't even have the kind of machine that'll reverse and play the other side. So it would just end anyways, and then I'd never get my tape back, so. Next week. Until then, just remember, you make the world a better place through your learning. My name is Chris. This has been I Like the Scribbles. Normally runs from midnight till 2 a.m. Today, midnight till 1:30. I'm going to leave you with local Vancouverite Thomas Jurku, I don't know, from the Czech Republic. Now, local Vancouverite. This is off the album Entropy. One of my favorite words and favorite ideas is actually entropy. The actual measure of disorder. It's a pretty cool concept, I think. Anyways, I'm going to leave this on until, I think it'll be on until 8 in the morning when Steve Edge comes in for the Saturday Edge on Folk. Till next week. Don't forget, you're a beautiful person.